My husband gets an erection the minute he enters the room. I enter the room, or maybe he enters the room when I'm there already. So don't you dare tell me I need to be sexier.
Hi, and welcome to Middle Me, the podcast about sex and pleasure after 40. I'm Anna P. Santos, and that was Margie Holmes, sex therapist and sex goddess. Before anyone else in the Philippines ever dared to, Dr. Margie was already talking about the pleasures of sex. She broke down taboos with her humor and her candor. She kept it raw, she kept it real. Of course she got a lot of flack for it, but as she says, who cares? Here's Dr. Margie Holmes talking about midlife and beyond with absolutely zero fucks.
Actually, this is our first ever episode of Middle Me. And what better way to initiate Middle Me and these discussions on female sex and sexuality in that kind of awkward stage of middle age by talking none other than to the OG, the sex goddess.
Oh, wow.
My life, Dr. Margie Holmes.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, just to show you my age, what does OG mean?
Original gangsta.
Ah! I love it.
Still remember years ago when there was no one talking about sex, I saw Dr. Holmes on TV. She was on Martin After Dark talking to Martin Rivera about sex. She was laughing, giggling, sex, funny and real. And raw, and flexible, but not dirty.
Thank you.
And I said that.
For which, of course, I got a lot of brickbats. But who cares? That's all in the past.
Who cares? Yeah. But I was a lot younger then, and I still remember thinking, "Oh my God, that's how we need to talk about sex."
Oh wow, Anna! Thank you, thank you,
thank you so much. So let's start. I'll jump in.
Okay, sure.
What can we describe as midlife? For the purpose of Middle Me, we're looking at maybe like if you take the average lifespan of a woman being 82 or so, it's about 40s.
And okay, great.
And then to that time when you start getting into menopause.
Is okay, that great.
A stage that we can define middle age as that stage. What can we expect then, Dr. Margie? You know, as women in midlife, what can we expect to go on here? In our heads, here in our hearts, and down there.
Okay, research has shown that women, once they reach 35, which I guess because this is about 10 years ago, the age for women, the old age for women was 70. Mm-hmm. Okay, research has shown that women really start to enjoy sex when they're 35 or over. But this seems to be an emotional thing because usually by 35, or I hope so, I hope I'm not insisting, that women by that age are more confident. They have accomplished at least one or two things. I hope they feel a sense of accomplishment. And when you do, you have more confidence to say what you want. I mean, let's face it, a lot of men are pretty crappy lovers. No, they don't want to be. I mean, you've heard of those old jokes, right? Or maybe you haven't, you're so young. Why is golf and making love similar? Because men think they're better at it than they really are. And my favorite is, why do women fake orgasms? It's because men fake foreplay. Now, to go back, a research in Cosmo has said that they interviewed women and they found out that most women need at least 20 minutes of foreplay before they get ready for penetration. Okay. And I just want women to know this. So don't feel bad if you need that time, or you need 30 minutes or 35. And sex can be terrific even without penetration. Said one of the physical manifestations of maybe it hurting or not so comfortable when you're older is you may not lubricate so much. You may not. And that's mainly it. There is something else that happens Which is okay because this is a function of age, right? Something else that happens, that the ridges in your vaginal canal are not flattened out. In which case, yeah, the capit of the penis is not as much. But so what, you know? I mean, they found Botox for wrinkles. Maybe in the future they'll find Botox for this, which does not mean you have to do it. It doesn't mean you have to do it, but you know, it's good to know there's that option. I mean, I haven't done Botox yet, but you know, I may do it in 5-10 years time. Naku, charot, as long as I want earlier.
Noob, like your best friend, a girl's best friend at any age.
What is this?
Isn't lubricant a girl's best friend at any age?
Lubricant, yes. But sometimes, first of all, some men and women are queasy about using lubricants. And I think we have to include them in the equation. I mean, that's a wonderful saying. Is it? If it's original, I'd like to quote you. If it
yes!
isn't, it's a wonderful saying.
I said lubricant is my bed friend.
But you see, but some men who are not confident, you are bright enough to get confident, thoughtful, you know, yet assertive men, but some women don't know this. Some men feel like it's an insult to them.
My lubricant is an insult to them.
Yes, I mean, it's ridiculous, but this is the way they feel. This is the way they feel. And they should meet more women like you. They should listen to more podcasts like this, which say, uy, walang personalan. It's not personal.
I should use them to my lubricant. Maybe I should massage them with my lubricant.
Oh, they would like that very much. I cannot speak for them. Sorry. This is one thing that older people tend to do. They think they know everything when they don't. But I think it would be wonderful if you did.
I should try.
But anyway, let me know how it goes. That can be another.
That will be our lubricant. Next podcast.
Yes, are lubricants really a woman's best friend? You know, give me your answers. I think that would be fabulous. I honestly think that would be fabulous.
But what is it about? Okay, I have so many things to ask you about midlife. Number one, there's this, you were saying that more, you know, as you get older, women in midlife are hotter. Their libido is like shooting through the roof.
And well,
I don't know. These are things that I've said.
They tend to be more comfortable about sex. They tend to be willing to explore more. And perhaps women at the end of the spectrum are hotter. Their libido is shooting through the roof, etc. But talking about the bell curve, when you're 35, you tend to be more confident and therefore more willing to explore, which includes being hotter, right? Being willing is already a big deal to have sex.
I think,
you know, shooting through the roof is okay and exists, but maybe for 10% of the population, which is already good, Anna.
Whether in the movies, in advertising, or even among conversations with friends, aging into midlife is seen as a period of dread and demise. But Dr. Margie says that this can be an age of adventurous and fearless exploration of sexual orientations and sexual experiences.
Feel free to have different narratives, sexual orientation, for example. Many times, this narrative has changed. And even being asexual to polyamorous, being polyamorous to being a monogamous, etc. All these choices that you have now, choices you have without fear of being judged, right? Admittedly by just a small group, not yet the whole world or the whole country or, you know, but at least not being judged, because for sure, monogamy, infidelity, polyamory existed in our parents' times. But, you know, you were judged, and so it had to be hidden so carefully. women can find other women attractive and not be lesbians. But more important than that, women can find women attractive and explore the possibility that they might be lesbians or realize, my God, that's why men never turned me on. And so what? So bloody what? Wow. Right?
Is this what we have to look forward to in midlife?
Yes, but the younger you learn it, and so I hope and I know even younger women are listening to your podcast, the younger you realize this, the better. Because not only will you be kinder to yourself, you will be kinder to others. Because sometimes you are not kind because you're jealous. I mean, without knowing it, because people don't mean to be unkind purposely, I think, the majority of people. But you're jealous or you're fearful. You're jealous. How can she be like that and not care? Whereas I am so constrained by my culture, by what my parents said, or you may be fearful. Ano kaya kung ganyan ako? What if I'm like this? And what will people say? Or what will my parents? Or will I go to hell? Etc.
Of course, there are always going to be people who will tell you to act your age. But Dr. Margie shows us how she once clapped back, using her husband's penis.
When I was doing my biking in the gym, you know, this guy who wasn't even my trainer came to me and said, Doctora, don't you want to be sexy when you're older? Don't you? And kept on and on. I mean, I swear to God, he kept on and on. Because if not, I wouldn't have said, look, my husband gets an erection the minute I enter the room, which was true then, you know, 57 at least, because my husband gets an erection the minute he enters the room. I enter the room, or maybe he enters the room when I'm there already. So don't you dare tell me I need to be sexier. And so he stopped. But as I say, this is only because we have to be aware of this, the way society and the culture and maybe other men who wish they were your partners and are not. This is the way they make you feel self-conscious. And after feeling self-conscious, they make you feel horrible about yourself. They pretend they're objective. They pretend they're thinking of you. But they say things that don't make you feel good.
Many of you may already be following Dr. Margie's sex advice columns. Coming up next, Dr. Margie gives her signature juicy advice about aging into your sexual identity.
Jump in with the questions from the ladies. I got some questions from some friends who got really excited when I told them that I would be having this interview with you.
No, naman. Okay.
I'll start. One is, eto, living out different narratives. I was prepared, I may end up being on my own. I was prepared for this as a young, ambitious, 20-something-year-old, but I feel much more fragile now about it as I enter midlife. I feel sad about not being number one to anyone. Yeah. How can I brace myself for being on my own later on in life?
Thank you. I think that is a wonderful question because it's realistic. Okay. First, if you have children, I am so, so glad and kudos to you that you are not relying on them to make you feel loved. Although, of course, we hope they love you or make you number one in their lives because, you know, they have their own families to take care of. So really kudos for you. Number two, yes, it's hard not to be number one in a person's life. But I think, with the greatest of respect, this is only if you're talking about a spouse, okay, or a partner living with you at home. I know several people, and I have told my husband, if we can afford it, I would like to do this, who have decided to live in a village where most people are the same age. Because friendships matter a lot. And I remember there was a study done in Harvard. It's the longest study on adult development. And it's been ongoing for 75 years and will go on for longer. They have had five research directors, you know, someone retires, they have, and they have, one of the things they studied is what contributes to long life. Okay. What contributes to long life, you know? And they studied people in their 50s because it's a 75-year-old study. They were able to study them when they were 60, 70, 75, and 85, the people who were still living then. And they found out the one factor that was common to all was not how often you exercise, what your cholesterol, blood level was, your blood pressure, etc. Although these were important, certainly, but whether you had an intimate relationship with at least one person. And they underscored it, or I heard they said it only once, but I certainly heard it. It doesn't have to be your spouse, even if you're still married. But there is one person, it didn't say number one, but I would think that's a good way to describe it. One person who knows what you're going through, whom you could wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and the person would be there for you, who asked to borrow a large sum of money and you lent her. If you could afford it, right? You lent her the money. At least one person who you knew would do that for you. And more as equally important, one person you would do that for.
So it's also changing your changing our idea of what meaningful relationships are.
Yes.
The one spouse, lover, or boyfriend. It can be a meaningful relationship with someone who you are equally important to. So these are people keep on saying that as I get older, especially as a woman, sex shouldn't be as important to me anymore. Hindi na kailangan yan. Wag ka nang lumandi. But I still sexy and sexual. So how do I handle my sexuality at this life stage?
Okay, first of all, there are many people who feel like you, like me. And of course, I'm far away. Meaning, you find your tribe. You find your tribe. Because those people who tell you that, you know, as I say, haters gonna hate, right? Conservative people are gonna stay conservative. Don't hang out with them because they're going to be like a black cloud over your life, okay? You find your tribe.
Yes.
And you find, I mean, if you're heterosexual, you find men who appreciate older women. There are a few. There are not a lot, or not a lot at first, until they realize that being older is not just age of the body, it can be age of the mind.
That's part one of our interview with Dr. Margie Holmes, sex therapist and sex goddess. For part two of our interview with Dr. Margie, she gets personal by looking back at her life, talking about sex, and yeah, having it. Lots of it. That's coming up in our next episode of Middle Me, Sex and Pleasure After 40. Stay tuned.